Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Geek with Muscles podcast with Mike Robert, discussing science, technology, spirituality, and something else.
And hey, everybody, welcome to another edition of the Geek with Muscles podcast. I am so excited about today's podcast, so let's just get right to it. Our guest today is a recording artist who was featured on season 2 of American Idol. Her latest album, Wahida, was released earlier this year. She has a fantastic story filled with spirituality, adventure, even running away with the circus. Ladies and gentlemen, live from Austin, Texas, it's Jennifer Fuentes.
What a beautiful welcoming. Thank you.
Thank you. Jennifer, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This is pretty cool.
Yeah, right? Totally. So I have to first start out by giving a huge shout out to our mutual friend, Phyllis, who actually brought us together so organically. She's just filled with so much love and light. And I'm blessed to know her through the zoo because I volunteered with her mom for almost 20 years at a local zoo, Dottie. And Dottie, I call my zoo mom, and she calls me the son she never had. So
love you, Mama Phyllis.
Yeah, we do. So that is just so awesome. I'm so blessed to be surrounded with such wonderful people. I have to tell you that you have already a couple of new fans because through the process of researching, I don't speak Spanish, but I was able to get your album, your latest one, Wahida, translated. And my friend who did the translation for me, she was listening to it and thoroughly enjoying your music. So you have at least two new fans. So,
wow, that's so cool.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask you, have you always been like musical since you were young or?
Yes, I used to do the talent shows in the living room for my parents and did all the competitions in school and even had done competitions for like American Idol, and from American Idol went to a tour. So, I mean, I didn't really start off with a musical education background, but after joining all the talent shows and being a pageant queen,
right,
starting off in Homestead, is where Phyllis and I are from.
Yes.
And that's pretty much how it started. I was singing at like the national anthem girl in town.
Oh, wow. And,
there's cool a lot of that. Power behind having a crown on your head. You get a lot of opportunities in the city of Miami. So I'm really grateful for that opportunity. And as a teenager, I realized how much I wanted to pursue a singing career, and then I could basically make a living doing it if I followed it. Followed my dream and ran away with the circus. And one thing to the next, I got my educational background kind of with the touring experience. And that's really right. Where it blossomed from there. And I honed in on being a singer and performer and entertainer. And ever since then, I haven't really gone back.
Wow, that is just, I love that. I love that you just followed your passion and just went with it. That's like something I try to strive for myself. I don't think you're ever too old to just keep, you know, trying and going mm-hmm. with your passion and
do
I was
what you love.
Yes, exactly. Now you have a lot of different sounds. I'm gonna play a really quick clip here. I'm very eclectic when it comes to musical taste, so I like a little bit of everything. But one of the things I love the most is country.
Awesome.
Is country music. And so I found
sounds like you came across some stuff.
Yes. So I just want to play this clip really quick.
Yes, I have a history.
So here we go.
Let's pull the covers back up over our heads. Pretend the sun just set. I ain't through loving you yet. We don't need
Okay, so that gets stuck in your head really easily.
I
love that song. That is such a cool song. What did you write that?
Well, right from the get-go. No, I did not.
Okay.
I wish I would have. maybe I would have pursued the country world a lot sooner. And for me, it's almost like a curse or a blessing at the same time that I'm quite the chameleon. A lot of people know that of me when they come see me perform, because I do so many different styles of music. And quite honestly, it's because I really have a hard time focusing, but I also love a little bit of everything. And the way I was raised was pretty much my dad was like, hey, if you learn how to sing the greats, then you're the best and you can sing anything. It's kind of how I learned listening to a little bit of every style that I loved, from jazz to Motown and even awesome rock singers, or Bon Jovi, which can sing like crazy. And that's where I got my range from. And then, of course, as a teenager in the pop world, like Mariah Carey and Whitney Houston, those were the types of songs that I went and auditioned with bravely in American Idol. So I really don't have a genre. I listen to everything. But my passion and my culture and background really comes from the Latin world. And that's how I grew up with, you know, pop Latino, and just with beautiful music like Celia Cruz. And I thought, you know, why haven't I tried writing something in Spanish and see how that translates? And that's the first time that I actually made an attempt to try and write and my own music and lyrics to everything, and what I grew up to, and send a message that was strong for women and love. And it all kind of came together last summer. And so the country thing was a world I don't know how many years ago it's been, I decided to try and do the country Nashville thing and those demos out there. And that was an amazing experience. I did Nashville for a little while and recorded in Brentwood studios, and they took really good care of me and recorded for a little song demo like in 4 hours. It was so fast with these session players.
Oh wow.
And we nailed it. It was a great experience, and I wanted to be one of the first Latinas to sing country, and nobody was really doing that at the same time. I think Darius Rucker had started his thing, and I go, man, he's breaking through, and opportunity to bring more culture to the Nashville population. And I thought I had a shot at it, but unfortunately just life and divorce, and I'm in Texas now and going a whole new direction, actually, quite honestly, which yeah. is crazy.
Yeah.
But I love songwriting and like country songwriting. So my style has that pop country. There's a little formula to that. But I haven't released anything like that. I just decided to go Latin this time.
Yeah, I wanted
my first demo.
I wanted to actually call this podcast Finding Your Voice, because like while doing research, you know, I was coming across all these different styles. And I think that's amazing, because one of the things I with personally is being what's called a multi-potentialite, which was a term coined by this lady named Emily Wapnick in a TED Talk. And I literally used to think there was something wrong with me because I couldn't focus on any one thing in my life that I wanted to do. And then I realized, hey, that there's people like that. So musically, you're like a musical multi-potentialite, which is awesome. And
that's beautiful, Mike. That's a great thought. I love that so much.
Yeah. So I think that's just really cool. And so as I'm looking through the songs that you're playing, and part of the thing that Phyllis and I find, like, we're very much speak of a lot is spirituality and everything. And one of the first videos I saw of yours when we were just talking about you months and months ago was your Afterlife video. And I also noticed the sort of Latino sound come yeah. out in that. I'm going to play another clip of Afterlife if you don't mind.
Oh, oh, oh. Love's not only till we die. I'll meet you in the afterlife. Love can reach the stars. Love is in your eyes. Love is to the moon and back. Love is always on your mind. Love will let you burn. Love will let you cry. Love, you can feel it, feel it, feel it.
So that's Afterlife. So I love that song. So that's kind
of... It's one of my favorites. That was my first single.
So oh, okay. Special. Well, you know what? Your energy totally comes through in that song and that video. And you seem like not only did you have a great time like dancing and doing that video, but it seems like a large part of your spirit comes out in that song. And I love I love the line in there where it says, you know, where it talks about love just keeps going on. And how much does spirituality influence your music? Because as we talk about in a little bit, when we start talking about Wahida, my good friend Lizzie, when she was translating for me, she was like, oh, wow, this is so spiritual. So how does that, how does spirituality influence your music?
I think that song is really special because it really was to no one. But just the relationship I really have with my daughter and teaching her what love should feel like, that it shouldn't make you cry. And I think searching at that point, I felt like it didn't really exist anymore and that I felt kind of hopeless in a sense. And I said, how am I going to write something depressing as like my first single? I'm going to force myself to write something really happy. And my daughter had sung this kind of melody and it just stuck in my head. And it was this cute little scale. It was sounded, the words were not there, but she was just humming something. And so it kind of belongs to my daughter, which one day she'll learn. She's only 7 years old.
Oh my gosh.
And that I was just singing this melody in my head for a while because she had sung it. And I built the rest of the melody along with my buddy, Johnny Vogelsang. And wrote the lyrics over time. I had a little something put together, and then as we were recording the song or demoing it in the studio, I finished writing the rest of the song. And I honestly, I think I was kind of sad when I was writing at the same time because I didn't have that love, and I thought it really won't be that way until like afterlife. And I thought, when you get married, I believe when people say like, oh, till death do us part, I'm like, no, it's till death and the afterlife. And
oh, how cool. I love that.
And I think that's where it comes from. I just kind of dug deep into something that I wanted to find or love I wanted to have. And that's how that song pretty much came together. It's the way that I wanted to love is what I was looking for in return. And I wanted June to have that, so I wrote about it.
That I love that. I love that how that just sort of came together like that. Now, in your video for this song, you featured a same-sex couple. And
yes.
And this is kind of interesting because this came out in 2016. A lot of people were, especially entertainers, I think, were still nervous back then. Was that anything you had to think about or... To feature something
I
like that?
That would be one of my favorite things to share in the LGBT community. Ended up having a lot of attention because my babysitter wanted, I thought she would be perfect. They're a beautiful couple, love each other so much. I'm like, I have to have them in the video. They just share so much love and I love their positivity and they're just so much fun. And just even having my daughter around them for so many years, she experienced that kind of friendship and love for my daughter and that and involving her in all the things that they did together. And with us, I kind of adopted them into our family. And at the time of that I was shooting the video and when I asked them both to be in it, I mean, it was very special. I think it brought them closer together.
Right.
And now they have a little treasure of something for their relationship to keep with them.
Absolutely.
And that's how I felt about every relationship in my little Austin tribe is who do I embody their love or look up to. And I basically had a little idea producing and directing this video was going around and asking people what their vision of the afterlife was.
Right.
And it didn't necessarily have to be love like the story. So everybody shared it and I go, I think this is a great music video. And it all came together. It was so much fun shooting. And Manny Fresco, he was amazing because he really put up with me and drove to so many different destinations to shoot this thing. But we did it in a couple days and bless his heart, he did such a great job. I'm really proud of that music video.
Yeah, no, your passion, again, shows through that. And I love that you mentioned that you included people that you know because that's just such a wonderful exchange of energy. Like for you to do something special for them and they're doing this for you. I just love it. It's very,
that's how I felt. I didn't really know how to repay them. And I thought you're just really going to have a little, some special little your love and family in this video. And it was all captured by Manny. And I know there are so many other moments that happened and I'm like, how do we edit this all into 4 minutes? I wanted so much. And somehow he just, you know, put it all together.
Oh no, he did a great job. I love the video. Yesterday I was with my friend Lizzie and we're listening to Guajira, and I hope I'm saying that right, because I'm not a native Spanish.
Yes.
I used to speak Spanish. When I was younger, I spoke Spanish. So when, like, Guajira, first of all, means like old fashioned, correct?
Actually, it means, it translates back to the name or saying Guajiro.
Okay.
And Guajiro is a barefoot guy on a farm who doesn't care.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And they started saying Guajira. I was like a Colombian, basically like a hardworking girl who doesn't care, you know, who's barefoot, kind of a farm girl.
Okay. Much. So almost, so they're a country again, but in a different perspective, right?
That's kind of where I was going. I was like, you know, I was a country girl. I was raised on a farm in Homestead. And I mean, the roots are still there. I know south of in Homestead, we all listen to country music. It's a very agricultural area where I was raised in the South, and there was a lot of country music. I mean, we all grew up on farms, and just that's what I grew up to also, along with everything my dad raised me with. But I know that that when I thought of Guajira, I'm Latina and I love country. And who knows, you know, maybe the music will evolve and I can cross over and write both.
Yeah, right? You never know. I noticed while listening to this with Lizzie, who I don't know if I already thanked Lizzie, but I have to give her a big shout out, because not only did she, you know, translate all this for me, she was so passionate about it, and she's like singing along with your music, and she's like, oh, I love it. Yeah. So she was really, I'm glad I found someone that could be not only just translate it, but to be passionate about it and really get into the sound. Now, one thing I noticed, and Lizzie noticed also, was that it almost has a little bit of a samba sound to it. Was that intentional, or
just like Brazil?
Yeah, almost.
Maybe the guitar?
Yeah, it almost has a little bit. Yeah, so yeah, we were just wondering, you know, if that was intention or if that just organically happened, sort of.
I think that happened organically because Giovanni, that recorded the guitar parts, I mean, I think he was playing this his parts on the guitar, on this guitar that was like, I don't know, something ridiculous. It was like an $8,000 guitar.
Okay.
More expensive than that. I think it's like $11,000. He's going to be mad at me. I don't even know what it's called. But it was the most beautiful Spanish guitar, and I know that's what I wanted featured, and he was just so talented. And when we played all the arrangements for him, he honestly came in and soloed on these parts and wrote them himself, like his solo parts, and came in and nailed it. I mean, it's not like we had everything written out for him. He just has a beautiful musical influence and background. And I was like, that's what I want on the record. I want this style. And I was like, I want it to come in right here. And I want you to fade out. And I want you to bring it up. And I want you to bring it down. And everything he felt dynamically that I felt, he played it. And
oh, wow.
I don't know how to communicate that, but anyone who's working with me figures it out at some point. And he was just wonderful.
There was just
he did such a great job.
This sort of synergistic collaboration sort of mojo that went on, right?
Organic is the right word, because I think a lot of magic just happens in the studio when you just do things on the fly like that.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of that happened in the studio with Tony Walsh. And we just, I think, spending so much time and a lot, actually the whole EP of four songs were recorded in the morning.
Oh, wow.
I think that's one of the things we're really blown away by, is recording vocals and all these parts and working from like 7:30, 8:30 in the morning to probably 2 in the afternoon. So I woke up my voice and had a lot of texture and pushed my voice to the limit in the morning. And I didn't know my voice really functioned at that time. But it gave it something really nice, a lot of texture and warmth and that sexy vibe I wanted really worked, the grit in my voice. And I think that was something I achieved by recording in the morning.
Yeah, most definitely. It sounds amazing. I want to play a clip from one of my favorite tracks. This is Mi Tiene a Mi. And I have to tell you, after I play it, I have to tell you what Lizzie and I were talking about. Here it goes.
Oh, gosh. Dulce figuras de mí. Dulce figuras del pasado.
So that's Me Tiene a Mí, a really cool love song, but it almost sounds like, and I wanted to ask you about this when Lizzie and I were listening, is this about somebody who's passed away or somebody who's you just lost? Or because this sounds like it almost sounds remorseful, if that's the right word.
What I was thinking is you're meeting up with someone from your past. Yeah. And almost like in a dream sequence or something.
Oh, okay, I get that. Yeah.
And I thought in my mind, with the sexier it got, the prettier it got. I was like, this could be like in a really awesome scene in a movie, and
yes,
I thought the whole record of like, I want this to be in a James Bond movie. That's what I kept.
Oh, thinking. Yes. Yes, so I could totally see that.
I was channeling that, writing these, that I wanted something super sensual and sexy, and that was definitely achieved with Me Tiene a Mí. It's like, you got me, which is like a dreamy love scene.
Yes.
And then it all just kind of came together also.
I totally can see that. I can totally visualize that from hearing it, even though I don't understand the lyrics word for word. I understand more Spanish than I speak, but even though I can totally see that playing in, like, you know, the Mercedes driving up, James Bond, or the BMW, whatever he drives. And then the other song I really loved on this was Luna Llena.
Luna Llena.
Yes.
Luna Llena. It feels like, I guess from the story is like a girl from Guajira. Is that's that song was like a girl walking on fire without a care in the world and not looking back, and the people are looking at this at her, and that, like, there she goes, there's this person who's just moving forward, and the music is what drives her. And so there's love, there's music, and I guess I wrote about those two things without a care. And so that's kind of what all those four songs mean all together.
Okay. Yeah. Because the imagery with Luna Llena is so intense, you know, as it's being described to me, you know, she says, I'm looking out the window to see if you're coming and tell me how you feel, but I don't want to know. And I was like, oh, wow. Yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm getting anxious listening to it because I've been there, right? We've all been there.
Yeah.
So it was amazing that you captured that. I really love that song. That was just so cool.
Thank you so much. That was a fun song to write.
Yeah, no. And all of these songs just are really cool. Tell me more about Pensacola Pier.
Pensacola Pier was written with Tony Walsh, and basically I was like, I want to have some kind of like 70s, I don't know, car chase, like Bonnie and Clyde. Bonnie and Clyde, and I go, let's write a song that says Bonnie and Clyde. And I go, you know, I have this old song, and I pulled out like all of my old, I mean, I brought every single thing that I've written, all old writing material. I had wrote something really old about writing something and putting it in a bottle on the Pensacola Pier.
Oh,
and
okay.
Watching it go off in the water.
Awesome.
And I go, you know, like, Pensacola Pier sounds really cool to write something. We just kept repeating Pensacola Pier, and he started playing this really cool blues rhythm and this vibe. So I started repeating Pensacola Pier like 10 times. until I was like on the Pensacola Pier. And then they went from on the Pensacola Pier, well, what's going to happen on Pensacola Pier? And that's when I wrote it there with him in the studio. And I've never done that, like, from beginning to finish.
That is so cool. When you have this, that's so cool when you have this energy pairing with somebody that your creativity just feeds off each other and you just hammer something out just like that.
Well, I was very fortunate to work with Tony Walsh. He was very, very, very talented. And it's incredible. He's such an incredible writer and he's just so brilliant and has such great ideas. And the energy that he provides in the room and creativity that he's open to, he's a really great listener open to my ideas. And I appreciate that. And I think that energy is really important when you're co-writing with someone.
Is that difficult to find in the industry, to find somebody that's so open to your ideas? Or do you sometimes feel like you're being restricted creative wise?
Well, I think a lot of people, what's really nice, like for instance, working with Johnny V, I can't write a bridge to save my life. And he's great at that. And
okay.
he has such a talent for just creating just these really clicky hook lines. And when I would say, hey, I bring him a melody and I have this really great idea and it goes like this. And I think, you know, when you leave someone open to the idea and you don't try to change it and own it, there's a lot of people who do that. And I really appreciate that. People honor just my ideas and the music that I have tried to put together and the ideas that I have, because it's all musical at the end of the day and it's collaborative. And it's really beautiful when you allow people to do what they're good at, because then you end up having something even better. A lot of people, I commend people who can do it all on their own. And it's beautiful. One day I hope to achieve writing a song all by myself, and I'm working on that. But it's a beautiful collaborative process, and I love writing with other people. It's a lot of fun when that energy is there, definitely.
It definitely sounds very rewarding to experience that from start to finish and everything like that. So the EP is called Wahida, and it's available on iTunes. I downloaded it off iTunes. And like I said, you have at least two brand new fans, because Lizzie and I totally loved jamming out to it and having that that introspective look at your lyrics and trying to figure out what it is that you were thinking. And to speak to you now and to hear what that is truly fascinating. So thank you so much for that. That is very cool.
I really appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to all the songs. That's
awesome. It was fun. It was really cool. Now, I just want to ask you real quick, you were on American Idol, and I'm sure a lot of people ask you about that.
It's a great experience. It's the famous question of all time.
I was wondering, were you scared to death being on that show, or what sort of experience was it overall?
It was not scary at all. I was just a teenager. I think I was 17, 18 years old and one of the youngest contestants. And honestly, I was just one of the girl next door getting in line and having fun. I felt like I had no musical bone in my body, and I was just like, let's do this. It's going to be
right.
fun. And after watching Kelly Clarkson on American Idol the first year, I thought, I'm going to give this a shot. I was really inspired. I did sit and watch that first season. And I had never auditioned for anything like that before. I got in line on the boardwalk in Miami Beach. And there were about maybe 1,000 people ahead of me. I didn't audition. I got in line at 5 o'clock in the evening and didn't audition until 5 o'clock the next day. So I slept on the boardwalk.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. So,
yeah, I don't know. There were thousands and thousands of people, but nothing like millions now. And out of 60,000 people, to be in the top 30 is a big accomplishment. I'm really proud of. And I wasn't at the time. I was so down on myself for so long, but it definitely opened up so many doors. And if I would, you know, what I know now, I probably would have networked and communicated on a whole other level. But I was just so immature and just going for the ride and enjoying myself. And I just, luckily, I just kept making it for some reason. I don't know.
Right.
I wasn't scared. I was just making friends and having fun. And I did whatever they told me to do. I think right. that's what I would change. Is maybe I would have sung the songs I wanted to sing. And I probably would have wore the outfits that I wanted to wear.
Okay. Like be more of, like express yourself more of being yourself.
But I mean, who knows who they are when they're 17?
No, I mean, it's so true, right? I don't think we know who we are till we're like in our 30s, you know?
And why you're calling it finding your voice, the perfect example.
No, totally. And then I was just blown away because then after American Idol, if you look on YouTube, if anybody wants to look that's listening, you can see the American Idol extra sort of video clip that they have available online where they show you being asked by Ringling Brothers Circus to be their like frontliner or headliner when the show opens to be a singer.
Yes.
So
we shot that in Madison Square Garden in New York City. That was incredible. They came and did a whole interview, a spread on what Jennifer's doing now. And just to bring up Phyllis again, if it wasn't for her, I never probably would have auditioned for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey.
Oh, really? Yeah, wow.
She's Mama Bear's hand. She drove me up there and said, you're doing this thing. And we got a hotel room. And she took me to that audition because I had canceled it and I was not going to do it.
Oh,
and,
wow.
She literally was like, you're out of your mind. And we went up to Orlando and I had the audition and made it. I got the job the same day of the audition.
Oh, wow.
So it was a worldwide audition looking for the first female singer to sing alongside the ringmaster as a songstress of the circus for the 134th edition of Ringling Brothers. And when I got the cast information, I was just like, well, this is a little out of my league or something. And everybody was like, you're out of your mind. You fit the whole thing. And I'm like, okay, but confidence is key, right?
Yes,
and I had
totally.
No idea what I was going to do. And I did some expensive vocal teaching instruction on what songs I was going to choose to perform. And those were worthwhile. And I went in prepared and had all my sheet music lined up and felt like I was auditioning for Broadway or something. And that's exactly how it felt. It was a lot of pressure and
what,
all
right.
the owners of the company. And they signed me that day.
Oh, wow.
It was very, very exciting for you.
Yeah. It was just meant for you. That is,
it was really good timing. I literally did run away with the circus.
Yes. That's just so amazing. That's just,
yeah, Phyllis stepped into the mom role right there. And
right.
Bless her heart for that. I love her to death. And I wish I don't even know how to thank her for that because it changed my life. It really did.
To go through that and it's a huge production. And I don't think a lot of people realize what goes on to putting a show like that with so many different people on stage and the timing. So seeing you there, and I was watching the video clip of you singing and everything, you can tell you're having a great time, by the way. It's like, you're very expressive. So it was like very cool. I really liked that. And
they played up on the whole American Idol thing. I think that really helped my career, and I didn't get to do anything for a whole year after Idol. When the audition came up because I was under contract.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so that the first year that I filled in to sing on the 134th, it was kind of like a trial run to see like, can she hang, you know,
because
they
right.
don't really give you wings to fly. They just kind of throw you in literally with the lions and like figure it out. I wasn't born generation family in the circus or anything like that.
Right.
I knew how to get around. I just had to figure it out. And then when they offered me a new contract for the 136th edition, it was to build the show based around my talent as the featured songstress of the circus. So
That's just totally cool.
The first female in the history of Ringling Brothers to like say, welcome to the greatest show on earth. And I'm so floored by that opportunity. And it was just a great experience, 4 years touring that taught me a lot about my voice, and I really, really enjoyed it.
And that's historic, because you're the first female to say that, and that will never happen again. That's you. You own that. So that's just the coolest thing. Now, Jennifer, people want to go see you. I saw that you do have regular shows in Austin, Texas, correct?
I do. I've been singing as a regular. I have a residency for standing 6 years now at a Trulux.
Okay.
Restaurant downtown. There's a Trulux in Miami, actually.
Oh, wow.
Too, downtown. If you ever get a chance to go, it's very, very beautiful restaurant. And I'm a lounge singer, so it beats 13 shows a week and traveling around the country. Instead, I get to drive right down the road.
Oh, very cool.
And perform twice a week and almost make about the same.
Oh, very cool.
So I can still play the mommy role and still do what I love. So I'm very grateful to have this this regular gig that's supported me for so many years here in Austin. And I try to get out and sing in town to do my originals too. So I don't really do that at all at Trulux. It's a very different vibe. But I do get to do like a duet or a trio or even up to a 9-piece band in Parker Jazz Club, or you can catch me at Manuel's downtown. And I try to do a lot of private events here and there. But I do a lot of acoustic vibe from jazz, Latin to pop. And then I even put together a salsa band. So it's a lot of fun. It's depends on where I'm playing and what the occasion is. And that's how I try to promote my shows, to make it fun for people to come out.
Right. Well, that's the entertainer in you, because I noticed, you know, just by speaking with you, that you're not only do you love to entertain, but I can tell that you love to see people enjoy what you're putting out there, which is amazing, which all boils down to that exchange of energy again. And your website's jenniferfuentes.com, correct?
Yes, it is. I'm still going by Jennifer Fuentes. I'm recently married. A lot of people.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I was for sure that I wanted to change my name. I just wasn't sure if I was going to continue going with Jennifer Fuentes for my music. But I'm pretty sure I'll keep that alive. And all my fans follow Jennifer Fuentes. So Jennifer Fuentes music it is.
Very cool. Well, looking at your whole experience holistically, you've had such incredible adventures, and I'm sure that those adventures are going to continue, and I wish you much, much continued success. And I'm just thrilled that you were a guest here today, and I just want to thank you for being here so much, and thank you to Phyllis again. Shout out to Phyllis.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mike. This is my first podcast, too.
Oh, awesome.
So kudos to you. And I think this is really special to have, because back, I'm sure I'll be thinking about finding my voice, and then we'll have to do it again. And you know, if I
absolutely found it. This would be it'd be so much fun to get to talk to you again. So thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, everybody, for listening to the Geek with Muscles podcast.
See you in Austin.
Thanks for listening to the Geek with Muscles podcast. Catch more of Mike on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and geekwithmuscles.com.